When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Save on O'Reilly Brake Parts Cleaner. Get two cans of O'Reilly Brake Parts Cleaner for just $8. Valid in-store only at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Coop, I know you weren't expecting all of this. I know you don't want all of this, but...
Not only was I not expecting it, I was hoping that it wouldn't be here.
Yes. As you can see behind, for the audio listeners, 63, because I do not know how old Coop is. And Ross said, which was perfect, that, you know, Coop is one of those people that could either be 20 or 70, right? Like, I have no idea. And you're a little bit of a Morgan Freeman type in that, like, I've always known you to be
He looks the fucking same.
This.
Yeah.
Right?
He looks the fucking same.
Even...
Dumb, old, and stupid.
I've got major...
Yeah.
Major African-American actor vibes.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So I've been told.
Someone that's just kind of imprinted at a certain age and just didn't ever... Was never young
Rapey.
And is never going to be old. Do you know what I mean? That's you. We've all known each other for how long? 15, 20 years.
Minimum.
It's what we got to do. I love you, bud. Couldn't do this show without you.
Oh, God. Here comes all the fake bullshit.
I can do it without you. Whatever the attitude is today, it's Coop's birthday and it's got to drop. And we will talk about it later. Special day. My friend is here. It's Coop's birthday. And you guys have to be in a good mood. I mean, we're partying, right?
Copy. Understood.
And we're about to talk about brutal murder. Let's get fun and flirty.
Authorities are desperately searching for a killer accused of going on a rampage.
The search for a possible serial killer.
An urgent manhunt for a man authorities believe is behind a triple killing spree.
Police here speculating that a possible serial killer may have struck again.
I told her to get out of the car, and that's when she became afraid, and then I shot her.
All right, this is a fun case. Birthday boy's choice.
I like this one.
It has everything we love. Fake mustache, fake wig, right? A horrible disguise kind of thing.
Oh.
Yeah, yeah. Bad divorce.
Rocky,
backwoods.
Rocky marriage,
rocky
single mother.
Marriage, yeah.
Little infidelity.
Oh, yeah.
Those are, I mean, all the things that make American life good.
Married very, very young, right? In religious... circumstances.
Oh, yeah,
in the backwoods of Georgia, right? I mean, it has everything we love in a case. And we've got a little...
There's a bad disguise?
We've got a little twist. Yeah, exactly.
I'll
put it back on for that. It's got a little twist that we're just going to try and keep from Joel long as we can. What? That's the show. Oh, great.
Fuck.
We're doing Crime Corner? Oh, okay.
Oh, somebody's going to die?
Yes.
Do they die? No.
Yeah.
This is the second episode in a row that we've had that's a little bit like Mission Impossible.
Yes.
You know, a CIA agent once told me that the purpose of a disguise, even if they look cheesy, it doesn't matter if they don't look real, because the goal isn't for a disguise to look real.
And
the goal is to make it so people don't think of you when you're wearing it.
And this is kind of exactly... what it was like, almost bad on purpose, because you can't really place the person from that, right?
You know, I tried to make that excuse with my parents to explain why they catch me in dresses all the time. They didn't believe me.
Yeah, yeah.
Oh shit! There's more birthday presents coming.
More
in.
Birthday presents. Should we?
All right. Yeah, let's jump into it.
All right. The case of Heather
Stroob. For many divorced couples, one of the most annoying yet necessary aspects of the separation is sharing custody of the children. A lucky few have amicable and peaceful handoffs with no arguing or name-calling, which is boring.
Yeah.
Others have a guaranteed fight waiting for them. And that's how you know the two parents still care about each other. They probably should have just stayed together. At the very least, they can all be grateful that they don't have an armed stranger greeting them when they arrive. Everyone except Heather Stroob, that is.
Another hard name, too.
Stroob. Yeah, another weird one.
A Stroob.
I think we're just not used to, is it East Coast names, or, I don't know where these people come from, but I don't like it.
Yeah. On April 26th, 2009, in the beautiful town of Snellville, Georgia. Gorgeous. Have you spent time?
No.
Snellville, Georgia.
Oh, it's a resort. 25-year-old. Right up there with Aspen.
Yeah. Yeah. I have a timeshare. I have a timeshare there, I think. 25-year-old Heather Stroob arrived to pick up her son, Carson. The parking lot of a Target just north of downtown was the agreed-upon spot where she would meet her ex-husband when it was time for Carson to spend time with the other parent. This time, there was someone else waiting for her in the lot. Shortly before 6 p.m., Heather arrived in the parking lot to meet her former husband, Stephen Stroob. Stephen had arrived not long before Heather and was waiting for her to contact him so he could hand over Carson, who she had custody of during the week. Sadly, it would be the last time young Carson would see his mother. Yeah, so it's the classic, like, meet at the McDonald's, exchange, public place.
How old are they?
Kids. One kid, 19 months old, Carson?
Yeah, just a little over a year. And then Heather was 25, and Stephen was roughly around the same age.
Yeah.
You know, is this her?
Mid-20s.
Is this her?
Yes.
Yep.
Okay, there she is.
Heather.
That's Heather right there.
All right.
Well, beer's making me a little burpy already.
Ah, oh, jeez.
Birthday boys, burpy.
Birthday boys, burping.
Or girl, birthday girl, according to your button.
Yeah, yeah. Mm-hmm. Read the name tag there. Shortly after Stephen handed Carson over to her, Heather was buckling their baby into his car seat when a strange man with a mustache walked up behind her. And according to the witnesses, they had a brief conversation outside the car. Then witnesses watched as the man briefly spoke with her before suddenly drawing a pistol. He shot Heather once in the head and calmly walked away.
The fuck?
As the perpetrator strolled to the back of the parking lot, multiple bystanders called 911 to report the shooting. Emergency responders arrived soon after, but there was nothing that they could do. Heather Stroob died from her injuries.
Damn.
Yeah, right away, huh?
Yeah, I was going to say,
right away,
already
Joel.
Dead people.
Yeah.
I didn't even get to say, did she die?
So I'll make sure to leave that open for
you
on the next
episode. Yeah, we made
episode.
This more of like a whodunit than did she die.
Okay.
Yeah.
We went right off the bat with, she's dead, Joel.
Dead.
Okay?
We're not
nice tricking you with
woman.
That one. Yeah.
Don't worry, there's still twists. Okay. Still good. Heather was born in Atlanta, Georgia in April of 1984. She was known as a generally happy and intelligent young woman, and although not the most popular girl in school, she was well-liked and a good student. She had a friendly, somewhat reserved personality, and sadly for her...
No coop.
She had a smile that some might say... Could light up
a room. Know.
She's dead already.
Sorry, what would the smile do, Coop? I'll let you.
It could light up a
room. It could light up a room.
Yeah.
But you already know that.
Because she's dead.
Because she's dead.
Yeah.
Dead as fuck. Sorry.
Joel?
If I ever end up having kids, none of them are ever going to the dentist. Because if any of them have a smile that can light up a room, that's just signing their death warrant.
You just hit them if they start acting up like that.
Heather was described as just like a super nice, amazing person. She one time returned $20 that she found on the ground.
Oof.
Like, brought it
Poor
to a
girl.
Cop.
No wonder she's dead.
Listen up, buddy. Heather met Stephen at a youth group and we know all the best relationships start very young at a youth group,
oh,
right?
Yeah.
When the two of them were in their early 20s, after
Sorry,
traditional...
My huge penis book fell over.
Oh, well, perfect. After traditional courtship, the couple got married in 2004 and began a marriage that seemed like it would last a lifetime. While her husband, Stephen, pursued a career in construction, Heather worked as a florist for a while before opening a business herself.
Oh,
that's really impressive for a girl her age. This was before, I think she was around like 23.
Yeah.
When she opened her own business and it was successful for multiple years.
Yes.
I mean, up until she got shot.
Sure. That it really put a stop to it. Closes down
a lot of business.
Yeah. In September of 2007, Heather and Stephen welcomed their first and only child into the world, little Carson Stroob.
He's okay, though.
He's okay.
He's going to be on an episode coming up in, you know, another 18 years or so.
Stroob murders? Yeah.
Still, I hate that name. That's one of the worst ones. That's worse than
Stroobie?
Clitoral or whatever.
What do you want me to change it to? Oh, I found out. I need to address, you know how we were really going hard with how horrible the name Clotilda was for a gal?
Clotilda.
Apparently, it was the name of like a slave ship.
So,
it's like a very
Clotilda.
Well, no, apparently Joel saw the exact same slave ship when he was over in Prague.
And so we were just like, fuck that name. And it's like, a traditional,
ship name.
No,
it's
but
a
like
racist
a
name.
It's not well. Anyways. It came from somewhere. It wasn't like we
thought the boat. I saw it. I sent you
a saw
video.
The boat. Yeah, you saw the boat.
There were slaves on it still.
Anyways, so Carson
still going strong over there in Prague.
Carson Stroobie, would that be better?
I don't know. It's
Carson Stroobie.
Stroobs.
Stroobidoob. Stroobs. still working full time at her flower shop. Heather.
Somebody shot me in the head.
Huh?
Nothing. Sorry.
Heather would bring Carson into work with her each day to avoid paying the astronomical cost of daycare. Still, that still has not changed. Luckily, she got plenty of help from her mother-in-law, Joanna Hayes.
Stroobie doobie doo.
Where are you? Yeah. Make it fun and flirty, right? That's what we do here.
This is a mystery episode, right?
Yeah. There was a murder. And now there's a mystery. Joanna would come into the store nearly every day and help with customers, along with acting as a part-time nanny. And then also just taking Carson and
spending a whole lot of time with him.
Honestly, doing the mother-in-law job,
pretty much.
Yeah.
I am really disappointed that I didn't think of that Stroobie Doobie Doo thing, because I could have framed this entire episode like an episode of Scooby-Doo. It would have been so good.
And I would have gotten away with it, but she is kind of like that.
Yeah, exactly. Well, that's next time.
Next time.
Around 4 years into their relationship, the honeymoon phase began to wear off for the young parents. Heather and Stephen began to fight and grow apart, and even a marriage counselor couldn't save them. But I mean, good on them for at least trying to go to counseling at that young age.
Yeah, it was at their church.
Ooh. Okay, well, I mean, they tried. Unbeknownst to Heather, Stephen had already made his decision to move on. Heather found out his secret on the worst possible day, Valentine's Day.
Of course.
That's why Valentine's Day just sucks.
We did a whole episode on Valentine's Day. Isn't it the number one day that people break up or something?
Yeah, I had a just a couple of years ago, I had a relationship end like on the evening of Valentine's Day.
It's the most common day that people...
Were you guys together? Like, were you at like a dinner or?
Well, we were together to break up. Yeah, we were together when we broke up. No. We were just at home at the apartment that we shared, and
you were alone at the apartment, and you hadn't taken her out.
No. There's a whole long story too.
I
was trying all goddamn day. To do something.
To plan something.
Angry about anything that I would do. I was like, I mean, at that point I kind of figured it was done. So at the end of the night I was like, you know what, fuck this. I'm going to go hang out with Joel and the boys. So I went and hung out with Joel and the boys. And that was the end of it.
And that Joel is me and the boys is a bottle of whiskey.
Now when he said Valentine's Day I had a relationship and I was thinking that you were broken up with.
No, it seemed it by the end of the day it was pretty fucking
pretty clear
fucking mutual.
Yeah. Gotcha.
But why would you assume that?
because he was like, I had a relationship, you know, like I had a really bad, like, because
we got back together. We're
because
still friends.
You wouldn't say that if you yeah. were the one that was like, I break up with bitches on Valentine's Day every year. Right. You'd be like, oh, I got stood up for prom. Right.
If I would, I could.
Yeah. 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 You don't. Nobody ever tells the story of standing up the girl at prom. Right. It's always the girl getting stood up that's telling the story.
Oh, yeah.
So that's what I thought.
No, you don't tell that story in public, but
here,
you and the boys, you brag about it in private.
Yeah. I fucking left that bitch on Valentine's Day. Yeah, yeah. Okay. I got you.
She's probably still at the restaurant.
Yeah, I got
right
you.
Now,
I got you. I got you.
She's still sitting outside yes. the high school wearing her dumbass corsage. What a bitch.
Understood. Understood.
So on February 14th, 2008, Stephen's mother, Joanna, found some receipts for jewelry that Stephen had left at her house. Thinking it was a Valentine's gift for Heather, Joanna gave Heather the receipts and asked if she liked the presents. The problem was, Heather hadn't gotten any presents because Stephen hadn't bought them for her. He had bought them for his mistress. And a divorce followed soon afterwards.
But let's talk about...
Why were there receipts?
But why is the mother-in-law...
Handing over those receipts.
Finding the receipts and then going into... Like, just set the scene. Going into the flower shop and being like, oh, hey, I found these for your jewelry.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Save on O'Reilly Brake Parts Cleaner. Get two cans of O'Reilly Brake Parts Cleaner for just $8. Valid in-store only at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
She knew fucking goddamn well it wasn't for her.
I mean, that's really one thing that we can't necessarily get around over the course of the episode is Joanna was, she was a meddling bitch.
She was one of those... Mother-in-laws, right?
Was that a Scooby-Doo joke?
Yeah.
If it wasn't for those meddling kids?
Oh, no. I thought you were talking about how Fred was always calling Velma a meddling bitch for cock-blocking him and Daphne.
Oh. Block-cocking. I like that.
Yeah, block-cocking.
Normalized block-cocking.
Sure. But yeah, it's one of those things that, like, when I hear that paragraph, I go, like, that's her. Because she never really liked Heather, right? Or is she just, I don't know, she just wanted to...
And, well, from all the descriptions that I read, it was just like helicopter parenting, but for somebody that you're not the parent of. Like,
I
just
think it's
really
just more normal.
Overbearing mother.
I think it's more normal mother-in-law than you would think. So why did the mother-in-law cross the road, right?
Why?
Because she thought it was a boundary. Like,
oh shit,
is there any more? I've got to have some other mother-in-law material.
Thank god the women that I date either have dead parents or like absentee parents.
Did you make that up or is that
no.
like a common joke? That was good. I
don't know
it.
If it's common, but it's certainly cheesy.
I hadn't heard it before.
I don't have that. You think I made it up?
Nailed it.
Now look, we don't have that bad.
You're gonna be a mother-in-law one day.
I know.
Oh, God. Can
fuck
you
it.
Imagine?
But I'm
oh,
that, dude.
Dude.
Fuck that.
Joel is really feeling himself today, huh? Now, listen. I've learned a lot of what I think I'm not going to do. I think. Right? I don't know.
I'm staying out of it.
Up until you see,
out of it.
You see some hussy that doesn't deserve your son taking him away from you, you're going to put up with that shit?
That's Joanna's vibe. I don't think, now listen, I might be more.
You're going to be scary.
I think I would be more aggressive than like, oh, I found these receipts. I would think that. I don't know.
No, you'd be
but
cool.
I would hope.
You'd be cool. I think you'll pull the guy aside or whatever, or the girl, and be like, hey, we're drinking some
dude.
Wine.
Yeah.
Well, it's, you know. And you'd have a sit-down fucking talk with him. And that would be intimidating. But I think you'd be a good mother-in-law, don't you think? No. Yeah?
I think...
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm fired.
Listen, I'm good with people, right?
Mm-hmm.
Real good with ladies.
But if, once the line's crossed...
Damn
the
it.
The wrath
Well,
comes.
Now I'm thinking about it. Okay. Did I read yours?
Oh, birthday boy's getting...
No, you're... Okay.
Wish it was my birthday every day.
No, you're the receipts. Yeah.
Oh, shit. Look at what's going on.
So the receipts, the mother-in-law ringing.
Somebody's got to take a shot with me.
Well, they're coming all around.
Can we get him on payroll?
It's not my fault. Don't look at me.
I'm good. I'm good. Thank you. Thank you. We're ladies. No.
When you're done with those, you get the teacup.
Jesus.
Oh, my God.
Because
you're staying here?
If you're going to come, you got to come correct, my friend. Happy birthday.
I am. I feel so taken care of today. It's,
yeah.
It's crazy.
Don't get used to it. Okay.
I won't, Jesse. I
yeah,
swear,
no.
I
you wouldn't.
You get to fuck me either.
That's not true.
The what? The what? Okay.
Yeah. It doesn't mean he's not going to, though.
No, we already talked before the show. We got something worked out.
I'm sorry.
Heather got primary custody of Carson during the separation, with Stephen getting visitation on the weekends or every other weekend, just pretty standard. Dad gets every other weekend. The separation wasn't exactly clean or peaceful, but the former couple worked things out for the sake of their son. Eventually, Heather began dating a nice guy named Michelle. Oh, so do we go into...
Michael.
So she brings the receipts. She finds out who he's dating, who he actually continued. He's had an affair, and now he's still dating that person.
No, we don't go into that, but if you want to expand on
that.
Stay
with the side piece?
Stay with the side piece, which I think is kind of the move, just because then you can, down the line, be like, all right, well, maybe. You know what I mean? Maybe it was just... collateral damage for true love or whatever. If it's just a side piece, you break up the marriage and then you're not together, all for nothing,
then
right?
Then it turns her into a straight up homewrecker, as opposed to like, no, this is my soulmate. This is who I was meant to be with.
Yeah. Whether you think that or not, you can at least like...
try to give it some value.
Say that, yeah.
Which makes it worse.
So Heather had moved on as well, the guy named Michael, and fell into a semi-comfortable routine of sharing custody of Carson with her ex-husband. This lasted up until she was murdered in cold blood a few feet away from her own son. So, when the investigation began, the first suspect police questioned
was... That
was
the headshot? In the head?
Yeah.
No, just
Why
one shot.
My shot looks so...
That's... No, he just
foggy.
Keeps vaping
oh,
it.
Oh, okay.
Watch.
Oh. Hey, but it was looking foggy before.
Okay, look. Here's how it looks normal. Now he vapes. And it goes into the
That's
show.
Good. Like a smoke what? Machine.
It's connecting
Why
the room.
Why is it so smoky over here? You're the culprit. Yes. Couldn't be me. Could never be me. So when the investigation began, the first suspect police questioned was Heather's new boyfriend, which is weird. It's always the ex-husband, but getting there.
You would think,
but we're getting there. I think it's because... he had left, but they still need to question him. This very quickly turned into a dead end. First of all, the description of the shooter didn't match Michael. Michael was a tall and well-built and was well-built with a bald head and goatee. The shooter was much shorter with a small build, bushy hair, and a strange mustache that was noted by every witness. Imagine
there it is. There,
something like
there,
this.
There,
you know?
There it is. Pro tip, if you're going to murder somebody, don't do it with a mustache because they're notable.
It was like a bad wig.
That works. Where'd Jesse go?
Bestie hat. I know. Mustache falling out.
Is that a young Tom Selleck?
Yeah, yes. Sure is.
Just like that, yeah. The mustache is on perfectly.
On perfectly. Hold. I'm going to get you. Yep.
Yeah, okay. There you go. Mine does that sometimes. You just have to press it
down. Yeah, you just press it back down for sure. So the shooter was much shorter with a small build, bushy hair, and strange mustache that was noted by every witness. Michael was also at work at the time of the shooting, so police started making their way through a list of suspects. That's the other thing with this case is they were going through basically everyone that knew about everyone that knew about this drop off.
This is, you got to be just watching the video episode on this.
Yeah,
this Drinking is, Bros Patreon if you want to see what's going on.
I know the audio sounds normal, but it's a real treat to see.
The camera's actually losing focus. Dude, the disguise is working. You're going out of focus because it doesn't recognize
you. Is it focusing
you
on the mustache? Okay.
It's just, it's constantly looking for Jesse, like, oh, where'd she go?
Where'd she go?
Why is Tom Selleck here?
So they had to basically go through everyone that knew that this was their spot, that they would do the drop-off. So then that's family, friends, literally anyone that knew about their situation and started there, because it was just so perfectly timed. And when they looked at the scene, it was just like nothing was stolen. Nothing. Witnesses said it looked like they kind of knew each other. There was a little bit of a confrontation. So they have to kind of talk to everyone.
So with Michael ruled out, they looked to Steven's home wrecking mistress, which... as we learned, she's not a homewrecker because he stayed with her.
Yeah,
because
they're soulmates.
Yeah, obviously soulmates. That's, otherwise, they wouldn't have broken up the relationship.
No, no, no. He would never.
After questioning, she was ruled out as well. Then investigators followed every possible lead they could find, including friends, co-workers, and even Heather's own parents, of all people. Because they were some of the people that knew where the meeting took place.
Yes.
All of them were dead ends, so they turned their attention back to the most likely suspect, which is where they should have been looking the whole fucking time.
Hello.
Heather's ex-husband, Steven
Strube.
Strooby dooby doo.
Strube light.
Strooby dooby doo. Where are you?
My ex-wife just got shot now.
Yes.
After the rocky end of the... Jesus Christ.
Sorry.
Heather was a good one, man. After the rocky end to the relationship, Stephen was a prime suspect in the murder. Stephen lived with his mother, Joanna, and her new husband. When the police arrived at their home, the only person present was Joanna's husband. I looked all over the goddamn place for this guy's name. Didn't come up anywhere, at least in text.
Yeah, I think she was on her third husband.
Third?
Yeah.
Oh,
so
shit.
Stephen Sr.
No, Steven's mom was on her third marriage.
Steven Sr. and then something Hayes, which is her last name, but that didn't work out either. So not sure who this person is, but...
Didn't even take the name of her most recent husband? That's a bit of a red flag, you would think. So anyway, the only person present was Joanna's husband, so they began to ask him questions about Steven's location during the time of the murder. As they spoke to the husband, another man walked up and attempted to enter the house. So imagine the police are sitting there talking to the dad at the front door, and somebody else walks up behind him and is kind of milling around waiting to get into the house.
What's up, cops? And just like walks in.
What's up, pigs?
Talking to my dad. It's cool. Just yeah.
Headshot. Bop, bop.
Yeah.
Have you even listened to, what is that, like trap music or something?
Yeah, I'm not sure what's happening.
New Black Keys album's got some hip-hop on it.
Yeah.
I'm sure it does.
He's really fixated on it.
The police asked if he was Steven Strube. Strooby.
Strooby Doo.
Strooby Doo.
Are you Strooby Doo? But the man said no. He was Steven's cousin. After a few questions, the police let the man pass and asked the father and the cousin to let them know if they happened to see Steven. The thing is, they were already talking to Steven. Because Steven was the cousin that walked up. And when they asked him if he was Steven, he was like, nope, not me. Just,
and then they told the dad.
Just a cousin.
The dad that they were talking to, if you see Steven, let us know. And he was like, you were just talking to him. You know what I mean? Just like,
wait,
like,
what?
I saw Steven.
Sorry, Joel.
Do I tell you now or tell you later?
Yeah, yeah. At this point, it would seem this was an open and shut case. Steven had lied about his identity to avoid questioning and was acting generally suspicious. But when he was brought in for questioning, his alibi checked out. On top of that, CCTV footage of the parking lot showed Steven driving away at the same time that the suspect was approaching Heather's car. As a result, Steven was cleared as a suspect and police were back to square one. The big break in the case came when another witness stepped forward. On the day of the murder, the witness was staying at a motel that had a clear view of the parking lot behind the store. So they had talked to a lot of witnesses in the parking lot because you can imagine sitting in a Target parking lot, right? Just decompressing on your phone, either waiting to go in or you just got out of Target.
And you really don't want to go home.
You really don't want to go home. Your kids are there. Your family's at home. You don't want to go there. So you're just like, ugh. And you just like bought them a bunch of stuff. But you're just like, I'm going to wait. I'm just going to like chill here for 1 second. And can you imagine looking up and seeing this scene? You know what I mean? Fucking goddamn it. But like, you're just on the phone. You're just like, what is, that's weird. Weird wig, weird mustache. Guy comes up, nonchalantly walks up to the car, shoots, and then really calmly, I think that's another thing to reiterate, is very calmly walks away. Not running, not freaking out. Just like, boom. And then just walking to behind
Target. Yeah, it's like, yeah, N-word. And then just walks away.
Yeah, walks away with the energy of somebody that's just trying to get to the bathroom.
It's like, which is actually a great strategy in a Target parking lot, right? Like if you see this scene.
What kind of gun?
But revolver.
Oh.
But, you know, you're kind of like looking all over the place. Like you're not focusing on the calm person sort of, because there's going to be a bunch of people calmly walking into Target or around.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Or whatever. So
now
great
it's
strategy, actually. What?
No, it's a revolver. Now it's like a cowboy. It's not a black person anymore.
Okay, great.
He's like, howdy, partner.
It was never a black person.
Well, we don't know that. He's wearing a disguise.
there's been literally no...
Joel, sit a couple of plays out, buddy, okay?
You're taking my goddamn jokes.
The big break in the case came when another witness came forward. So... they had talked to everyone, but no one could really identify. They were just kind of describing this man, and nobody really knew who it was or how to really describe him. The man said, newest witness had said that he had seen a person matching the description of the suspect sitting in a white Ford F-150 before and after the shooting. The police now knew that what vehicle the suspect was driving. They also knew of someone that drove that exact same make and model of the truck that was connected to the victim. So this was like a trucker that was staying at the hotel that's behind the Target. And this is where the suspect went. So he's saying that he's seen the dude in the truck before and after. And he made a note that this person looked like they were wearing a wig and a mustache and were surveilling the parking lot with binoculars. So it didn't do
totally,
anything because nothing had
totally
happened
not
left.
Sketchy.
But you would log that in your brain, right? Of like a weird thing that you saw that day.
Dude,
but,
I've seen that before. We were shooting a film.
A murder?
Well, we were shooting a little film out in front of our studio. You've been there, Jesse. And literally across the street was a dude with binoculars watching us film, and it was like a nude scene.
Okay.
Yeah.
All that tracks, and we can
super
just open and
creepy.
Shut case, really.
We went and talked
open
to
and
him.
Shut
like,
case.
Why are you? Why do you have binoculars, and why are you filming
this? Because you guys
this?
Are nude. Like, oh,
so and I'll tell you the same thing that I said then. Mind your own goddamn business.
Yeah.
I was like, Coop, are you wearing a mustache?
Yeah.
No.
And you drove off
I
in
wish.
An F-150.
I didn't have time, but I was like really wanting to get you a black curly wig.
Oh, I
and just have you be the exact.
You should have just.
Can
asked
you actually
me to bring
find?
Mine from home.
Can so, you find the sketch?
That's what I meant to give you before the show
so
started.
So this
but
is what
is,
the
just so crazy.
So if you look at the Heather Straub.
Heather
Heather Scooby-Doo police sketch.
He's gonna type that in verbatim. STRUBE.
Oh my god.
Okay, so imagine before we put it up. Okay. Imagine if John Bon Jovi had a brother with fetal alcohol syndrome.
Or if Freddie Mercury didn't have money. Look at this. So this is what the police.
I spent the entire fucking drive coming up with that description, and you just crushed it.
No, I didn't. What'd you say? That was good. Yours was better.
Oh no, the Freddie Mercury one was way.
If he didn't have money.
But look at this.
The mustache makes sense now.
Yeah, and so horrible. So horrible wig like that. They even have the bag because he had like a black messenger bag that he like pulled the gun. Boom. See you later. I'm just going to calmly walk away.
Let's compare you with the mustache to the image here.
It's actually close. Not bad.
Ooh. Strikingly similar. Same nose.
Yeah, squint the eyes a little bit more.
Yeah.
There you go.
I thought there was a hat, but I guess it was just a wig. So smart. So smart of this person.
Holy shit, it was Jesse.
It wasn't Jesse. It was
Juan.
You guys, it's me. It was me the whole time. No. So the truck that he saw belonged to someone connected to the victim. Who do you think? Who do you reckon? Who would you reckon? Mother-in-law? Mother-in-law?
Yeah.
Maybe Joanna Hayes?
Joanna Hayes has a white Ford F-50, but I mean, listen, Georgia, Stinkyville or whatever the fuck they're in, like, there's got to be a lot of Ford F-150s, right?
Honestly, if you look anywhere on the West Coast especially, mm-hmm. like, what's the number one type of car that you see? You see old-ass F-150s.
Yes. Old-ass F-150s, so that's not, like, a smoking gun, but interesting, right?
It's
interesting that the car that this guy saw.
This is interesting right here.
I want to know where we get that, Lauren. Where do we get that wig?
Dude, look at those eyes.
We need this whole getup.
It's beautiful.
What's up, buddy? All right.
It looks like you just got to turn a broom upside down and stick it on your head.
Apparently it was that bad.
That's why I was thinking like a bad John Bon Jovi from the late 80s.
Yes. Yes, yes.
Oh, Melissa Etheridge, if she doesn't wax her upper lip. Yes. Imagine.
I'll be home. Right?
Picture any given woman at a Lilith Fair if they don't wax.
There you go.
Look at that guy. Girl guy.
We don't know at this point.
Despite having the same type of truck as the shooter, there were some glaring differences between Joanna Hayes and the killer. First and foremost was the fact that Joanna was a woman and didn't have a mustache.
Mm.
Every single witness had said the shooter had bushy hair and a strange mustache, but they all said that it looked strange for some reason. The mustache was obviously fake.
No one said it was fake. Like, they must have been good enough where they weren't sure.
No, it was just it was far away, and even in the CCTV, you go like, it just looks weird. But you don't. I mean, look, there's a mustache that just walked in. That like it, from far away,
he does look weird. All
it
the time.
May be yeah. like, is that real? I don't know. Yeah, it looks weird.
Yeah, come over here and show everybody what a fake mustache looks like.
No, if this is not the exact suspect right here, can we pull the hair back just a little bit? It's you. No, but by the way, why don't you put a fake mustache on top of his? He would be it. Okay, sorry.
The mustache was obviously fake, so police revisited the CCTV footage and found the bombshell that they were looking for. Upon reviewing the footage, police realized that the mustache and hair were actually both fake.
Okay.
They also noted that the killer didn't have the build of a man. Instead, the suspect shared a similar build to a middle-aged woman. Again, Lastro, come up here and give an example.
Hey, buddy. Happy birthday.
Dude, thanks for coming out, man.
Can you put it up to the camera? Come wait. To my
back away oh, wait, back, a little back, back up. Little up.
Oh no!
Oh, she bites some.
She's shopping for lingerie. She's shopping for lingerie.
You were on Grindr.
Okay, while we're looking for that, so they realized it was both fake. They also noted, go ahead, Coop.
Yeah, looking even closer, investigators realized that the facial features were also unnaturally feminine. The killer was a woman in disguise, so they called Steven in for some questioning.
So, at this point, they kind of knew. It was like a small, a lot of people, it was funny, like the target, there were so many target witnesses that had like different statements. And it was like, it looked like a little man or a small boy. Do you know what I mean? Like,
We got her.
Oh my God.
That right there.
The nose too. When you see the real person, then everything. This is fun stuff. And by the way, this is Patreon, guys. You're not going to get this on the audio. I'm sorry.
That's right.
Yeah.
It's not going to really translate on the audio. So apologize for that. But so during the second round of questioning, police now have brought back in Steven. Right? Like, okay, dude, you've been fucking weird, lying. You're the ex-husband. We're bringing you back in for questioning. And they show so they have him watch a few clips of the CCTV footage to see if he could help them identify the killer. They already knew, right, at this point. But they're like, let's get a genuine reaction to someone that knows her very well, right? While watching the footage, Steven noted the suspect was thin and looked kind of like a woman. So he's just sort of, as he's watching it, kind of commenting very
he doesn't even know.
Organically, just Damn. Like, oh, that looks like a woman. And then he was then asked if the killer shared any similarities with his mother. And this was his response.
Oh, yeah. Can you ask her that's your mom? That's your mom. But you said she... She had called me, huh? She had told me she got picked up. That's her. You saw her. You know your mom. Hey, can you not say it's skinny? No, he's not. The child was in the car. Less than 5 feet away. And that's your mom walking away. Well, she's trying to take care of you. That's why you gotta take care of me.
Is it your name was part of the shop?
Yeah. You know, it looks like her then.
So he first says he's like, kind of walks like, person kind of walks like my mom. You know, he's just sort of like, it's inner dialogue coming out because he's just like, that's a woman, right? Huh? And then they're like, you know, it's classic Georgia interrogation. That's your mama, ain't it? That's your mama, ain't it? Trying to take care of you.
We don't know yet.
He hasn't said. He was just like, holy crap, what? Like, for real?
Like for real, real?
Like for real, real, real?
But yeah, really during the question.
No.
No, right. it was one shot, Joel. One single bullet.
Yeah.
There you go. That's much better.
It was held up to the head execution style. Yeah. Investigators continue to show Steven clips and pictures from the security cameras.
Like this.
All of which, yep. That coming at you with a revolver. Go to my window. Right? Is there anything scarier?
Come to my window again, motherfucker. Yeah. You'll see what happens.
I'm at your window.
Stalker vibes.
Imagine her with a mustache.
Little stalker vibes. And I think she was talking about like a straight girl, right? Where she's like, I'm gonna turn you. It's like, I'm good. You're like, I'm coming to that window. Please don't. I'm good. I'll meet you at the coffee shop. No.
Come by. I'll stick my knuckle in your window soon.
Don't come. I'm not home. I'll be there. I'm here. I'm coming home. Yep. Love her though. Gosh.
Oh, you're gonna come.
What a icon.
Icon.
So understandably, so all of which he agreed. So now he's agreeing. He's in the interrogation room. He's agreeing now. Like, it does look like my mother in disguise. He's like, it walks like her. It really does look
like her. It talks like
her. I know. Where he's like, it really does. But he's also just like, there's no way. That's insane. So understandably, he was in shock. He knew that his mother was a bit of a handful, huh? or a crazy bitch, as her ex-husband
is a bitch.
As her ex-husband put it, but he never thought that she was capable of murder.
Ex-husbands.
Yeah, but we're talking about the one ex-husband.
The OG.
That actually called her a crazy bitch. So, but he never thought she was capable of murder. At that point, the police had Stephen call his mother to confront her and see if he could get her to confess. Oh, so she knew that he was, she knew that he was going in to talk to the police. And she's just kind of like, I don't know. I mean, call me when you're done. See if they know anything. So the police and Stephen kind of came up with this, I guess, ruse or whatever to say, hey, I just left the police station and then talk to her, but it would be recorded. But they were saying, just say you're already left, you're gone, and this is what happened. So I'll send you this link then.
There you go.
Hey. Mom. Hey.
Hey.
I just left the police station.
Put the picture up.
They showed me the videotape.
Yeah.
It looks like you. It looks like you. It looks just like you. Walks like you. Why'd you do it?
Fuck.
I didn't,
Mom. Did you do it? Seriously, do not lie to me.
Stephen, no, I did not.
That was the end of it. So, in his defense, I had the exact same conversation with my mom the first time that I watched Return of the Jedi, scene with Jabba the Hutt.
Sure.
And I accused her of
being Jabba the Hutt?
Of putting Han Solo on carbonite, and then she called me a nerd and said, like, no, it was Boba Fett that did that, you fucking loser.
But
the thing is, it was
actually
Darth Vader that actually did it.
Yeah,
so,
but you're
I don't
such
know
a nerd.
Wrong.
I could see you actually doing that. Mom?
You mistaked your mom for Jabba the Hutt? I mistaked her for the Sarlacc pit. That's crazy, dude.
You've seen her from a different direction than I have.
Yeah, leg spread. Anyway.
It's your birthday, so I'm going to let that fucking shit fly for one second, and you're done.
Oh, Joel, we are in so much trouble after this episode.
There has been
when your mom
so much nerd shit this episode.
Yeah, that's true.
All right, go ahead. Just kidding, Coop. Not Joel.
The Sarlacc pit looks like a giant vagina, Jesse, in case you were wondering.
Oh, that's cool.
Yeah.
I can't believe you humor us this much. Joanna was brought in for questioning, where she played all the greatest hits, including denial, excuses, and misdirection. She admitted that she may have been a little too nosy in her son's relationship, but she wouldn't have murdered Heather.
No, God, why?
Sure, she was kind of happy Heather was dead because that worthless whore was no good for her son, but she didn't kill her. She then went on to bash Heather over and over and over throughout the entire course of the interview.
Yeah, so the reason he was saying that is, like, that's how she was talking. She was like, she's like, I didn't do it, I would never do it.
Yeah,
but I hate her.
Yeah, it's wild.
She's
really
be dead. You're like, what?
Really talking open about during the interview that
She didn't like her.
Yeah. Definitely glad she's dead. But
yeah, it was one of those things where it's like, I didn't do it, but she was like, she had a gambling problem. She would spend all the money. She was a horrible mother. I think even in this interrogation was like, the kid had dirt under the fingernails. Fuck off. You know, so in the non-confession that she was smart enough to just deny. She was still dumb enough to talk about her hatred for the person that was dead. But anyway.
Yeah. Yeah. She was laying out all the motives. She did a terrible job of proving that she didn't have a motive for killing Heather, but at the very least, Joanna had a receipt proving that she couldn't have been at the scene of the crime when Heather was murdered. Except the timestamp on the receipt left Joanna plenty of leeway to leave the parking lot and drive to the store. And she went to, like, Burger King or Wendy's.
She went to Wendy's and got a Frosty.
One, it cost $1.29.
One Frosty.
Super important for her to go there and get that.
Ooh,
here's another red flag, too, is when people, like,
Georgia,
keep receipts to show, right?
She does that. She's done it before.
Find me a receipt of, like, when you went to HEB today. Do you know what I mean? Like, I don't know where no one keeps the fuck. from a year ago. Here it is, right?
From Wendy's for a Frosty.
Right. You're not able to give that to your accountant,
or
right?
Receipts of the jewelry from someone else, wasn't that?
Yeah, why does she have the receipt?
She's a receipt lady.
She's a receipt lady. But that's a red flag for sure. Like, here, see? I've even got, you know what I mean?
A receipt for $1.29.
Yes.
Yeah, doesn't
make
any sense.
What's the money have to do with it, the amount?
Because it's just random.
She was just getting a Frosty. Leave her alone.
Okay, but why would she hold on to the receipt, though?
Because she keeps all her receipts for everything.
I don't know.
It's a tax write-off for a business of being a bitch.
Yes. Since she wasn't technically under arrest, Joanna was free to angrily storm out of the interview before the police were done questioning her. So the police turned their attention to her vehicle. She was also, and I don't like Melissa Hayes or whatever, Joanna Hayes.
She's kind of hot, though. I mean, look at her.
We'll show the real person.
But I will say that she did do everything correctly. Like, she did wear the horrible disguise and denied, even on the phone with her son and in the interrogation room. And as she was leaving, she was like, when you're done and when you find whatever blood or whatever thing, let me know, and like left.
And she was talking about her car.
Her car.
Like, if there was any evidence
of
the car.
We have your car. We're going to search it. Do you want to say anything? And she was just like, no, didn't do it. You can't prove it. There's no blood in my car. So she's basically like, do your little thing and let me know. Call me when you find something or something kind of badass.
Yeah.
Don't love her, but she really.
And full blown got up and walked out of the interview. Like, as soon as she ended the sentence, she was already out.
And I think she knew, like, if they're talking to her that long and they don't have anything, they need her confession. That's going to be the only real evidence that they have, right? So she's just like, okay, I'm not confessing. So good luck finding fucking anything, right? And I hate her, but I'm just saying.
As you should.
In my episode about how to get away with murder that we're going to do soon, that some of that stuff's going to be on there. So the witness from the motel that was what the killer had used to flee. What?
About the F-150.
Oh, okay. So the police turned their attention to her vehicle, the white Ford F-150, according to the witness from the motel. That was what the killer used to flee the scene. They expected to find some DNA evidence linking Joanna to the crime, but the vehicle was clean. Like, really, really clean.
I have a...
Like, had been cleaned.
Very recently.
You have what? Picture or something?
I have a comparison image of his mom and the sketch. Doesn't mean she's the one that did it, but you can see if they look the same to you.
All right, let's throw it up at this point. Now I've got to put the mustache on again.
It does look like Glassro. It does look like Glassro.
All right.
Wait, so is it going to be her? Is it her?
So there was no DNA evidence in Joanna's car, but they did find some hair. Oh, yeah. So the vehicle was really clean, like too clean, clean from top to bottom, squeaky clean, kind of clean.
Unnaturally clean for the kind of car that you find a lot of cigarette burns in.
Sure. From Georgia. There was no DNA evidence in Joanna's car, but they did find some hair. Normally, finding a strand of hair counts as finding DNA, but it's not a diaper. The only DNA he knows is poop. There's other ways to find DNA.
Wig hair.
Nope.
No.
But not this time, because it wasn't human hair. It was a synthetic fiber from a wig, which has happened in a couple different cases. We're not home. I don't wanna see. I'll be home. Yep. I'll be there. Please don't come over. I'm calling the cops. Yeah. A wig that matched the color of the suspect's obviously fake hair. This is always a good one. There was one case, the clown killer, remember that one? Where they found like one synthetic, like red, curly, you know what I mean?
See,
no DNA in the car, but if you're wearing a wig.
Red pubes?
No, a wig.
No, it wasn't Lindsay Lohan. That's the thing with, even if you're going to be wearing a wig.
Yeah.
You got to take that shit off. Like, before you go back to anything that can be traced to you, burn everything that you're wearing.
Like, as she, like in a, like Mission Impossible, as she's walking behind the target, she's ripping everything off, right?
Yeah.
Throws a match, lights it on fire, and drives a motorcycle off the cliff onto the train. That's what you, everyone knows that's what you have to do to get away with murder. That's
I don't
what
understand did. Why people don't.
Basically, that's what she did.
Well, not close enough. After a few more weeks of gathering evidence, Joanna was finally arrested and charged with the murder of Heather Struby.
She did it. There she is.
She was arrested.
She was arrested.
Did she do it?
When one of the witnesses saw footage of Joanna on the news, they said that Joanna was definitely the person they saw approaching Heather in the parking lot. All the police had left to do was convince a jury of her peers, and Joanna would be in prison.
Did they make her wear the outfit again? Did they make her put on a wig and a mustache in court?
Dude.
Oh, that would have been so good.
I don't know if they could do that.
I don't
think like
they can.
Reenact the footage. Like, well, okay, put the shit on.
That's got to be.
And fucking walk.
No, because it's the prosecution.
Yeah, it's got to be along the lines of like leading the witness or entrapment, because they could provide any given disguise.
Look, they could put
disguise.
Me in that and be like, does this look like the person? You'd be like, yep, they did it. So no,
that's
you
her.
Can't do that.
During the trial, the prosecution brought in various...
There's more people coming in here.
Oh, damn. Got a whole new...
Oh, shit. Is that Adam and JNL?
Oh, my God. Jesse, I'm so sorry. This has gone off the rails.
I love that you're like, oh, no. I don't want anything. Oh, everyone. You
I'm
invited
gonna,
everyone.
I'm gonna
do you know what I mean? Oh,
I'm
my gosh.
Cry.
I didn't want anything special. I just kind of called him and see... Just...
I'm just having so much fun here by myself.
Wine alone.
Wait, people actually like you? This is weird.
No.
Go ahead, continue.
So weird.
No.
This is bringing up a lot of stuff for Joel. He's like, nobody did
nobody came for my fucking
shit
birthday.
For my birthday. Yeah. I know, I'm sorry. We're going to make it up next year, okay? The show's bigger. I have more
my
of a budget.
In like a couple weeks.
You know, all this was on
year.
The all this was on
yeah,
the business.
Your birthday next year.
All right. So. Guess we got to get through this. Let's do it.
All right, where did I even leave off? So when one of the witnesses saw footage of Joanna on the news, they said that Joanna was definitely the person they saw approaching Heather in the parking lot. All the police had left to do was convince a jury of her peers and Joanna would be in prison. During the trial, the prosecution brought in various associates of Joanna, none of whom gave great reviews. A former friend claimed that Joanna had once given her a long and very detailed description of how to get away with murder, and this included not leaving a paper trail, destroying the murder weapon, and using a common vehicle that wouldn't stand out, something like a white Ford F-150.
In Stinkyville, Georgia, right?
In Stinkyville, Georgia.
So the person that you're talking about that testified was, she was working at the floral shop, and they were doing deliveries, and on deliveries with this other guy, she just starts talking about how she would get away with murder, as you do, as any normal person would. So as you would. So then this person is testifying, like, yeah, she told me like all of this stuff. The other thing that the police did was from the time of the murder, as far as CCTV and everything, they drove to that Wendy's and bought a Frosty, probably, but they had plenty of time to drive there and get to Wendy's by the time, they probably had like extra time, by the time that she had the receipt, supposedly, that was her alibi. So lots of evidence in this case.
So Joanna's ex-husband also came in to give testimony against his unstable ex-wife, which at this point, I think we can go ahead and give it away that there's... like literally nobody that had good things to say about her.
No. And I think, is this Stephen Sr. or
yeah,
the Stephen second?
Sr., okay. her original ex-husband.
Yes.
So Stephen Struby Sr. told the court about a time near the end of their marriage when Joanna had held a revolver to his head during an argument. He went on to explain that she always carried a revolver in her purse.
Oh, she was one of those.
Well known.
Fun and flirty.
Strangely, although there were records of Joanna purchasing a revolver, she was unable to tell police where it was. It should be noted that the murder weapon was never found, and also theorized to be a revolver.
And because there was no shell casing, I think, right?
Yeah. And also, I think from at least one of the witness testimonies, they were saying that it looked like a revolver that she pulled out.
Yes.
Or they pulled out.
As the evidence mounted, things weren't looking good for Joanna Etheridge. To make matters worse, the witness provided the most evidence in the case. The witness that provided the most evidence in the case was Joanna herself. It would seem she was a bit of a braggart. Seeing as she told literally any other inmate who would listen that she had been the one to murder her former daughter-in-law.
Shit.
Which, again, she was real, real smart up until that point, and then she just went off the rails. It came as no surprise when the jury found Joanna guilty of first-degree murder and sentenced her to life in prison plus 5 years following her conviction. She told reporters that police had used her grandson, Carson, as leverage to get her son to testify against her. Her lawyers appealed the sentence, but in 2013, the Georgia Supreme Court upheld the conviction, forcing Joanna to serve the rest of her sentence. She is currently incarcerated at the Pulaski. Great name, though.
Brett.
Now we've got a good name. The Pulaski State Prison.
Good old Polish name right there.
Right? I love
that. Polish people do have really good names.
Anowski.
Yeah.
Anowski. State Prison.
She's
in
hot.
Hawkinsville, Georgia. So, there you go.
Look at her. I want to sleep with her the same like I want to sleep with Lastro.
Beware of the mother-in-law. Right? Now, we can say all kinds of stuff about how... I mean, I have a good one. But, look, we can say all kinds of stuff, all the tropes.
You have a good mother-in-law?
Yeah.
Nice.
Not like this. Not boundary crossing. Not, you know... opposite of boundary crossing. So I don't have this, but my gosh, she did every trope that a bad mother-in-law would do. Criticizing her about her mothering, trying to be like very involved with the grandson, almost like a mother, not asking to come over and take the kid, like meddling in their relationship, literally telling her about the fucking mistress. And being
That's
a little bit
up.
Happy about
That's
it, right?
That's more fucked up than killing somebody, in my
she
opinion.
She is what they're talking about when people say mother-in-law from hell. There's different variations of that line, steppers. But she was coming to your window. You know what I'm saying? Whether you wanted her to or not. And she was getting you naked and going down on you. And you were going to then be her girlfriend.
Hey, I'd let her.
And fall in love.
I'm all in. I mean, look at her.
Look at her.
I'd make her wear the fucking disguise, though. She's going to suck my cock. You know what I mean?
That's the thing. I would love to. I don't know. We didn't have any CCTV, but like, right, Coop? Did you find any CCTV, like the footage of her that they had from Target? Because I would love to see the little...
Yeah, there was some, but again, like, same thing
it's
as the
so
last
grainy.
Couple cases. Finding,
yeah, yeah, yeah.
Well, and also finding the full video from start to finish without any sort of commentary is
right.
Pretty hard.
Right. I think...
Oh, we're not singing happy birthday
I
yet.
I think, you know, the train has come off the track, and so I don't even know if I have to... say prolapse, right? Like, it's already... Are we still recording even? Like, I don't even know.
We are recording.
Oh, okay, okay.
Tech-wise, everything worked out.
Well, happy birthday, Coop. We love you. And Mr. I didn't want anything.
You're loved. If you look, J&L's here. They brought me food.
J&L's here.
That weird guy that you're friends with is here.
I know. I love you.
My old besties. meeting my new bestie. Yep. It is
new bestie.
Reformed dirtbag when I just... The dog whistle. Yeah. The dog whistle.
Oh, there it is.
The parliament lights. It's time. It is prolapse time. Love you all.
Lastro's here, too.
I feel Lastro's here. J&L.
Because his mom was the murderer. Skeleton.
Love you all. Let's party.
Yeah. Is this precious leak? And you don't know how much I do or how much I can take.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply. When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.